Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I got a brand new word, hot off the press tonight. You ready? I'm ready. I mean, I don't know what I'm preaching, but it's going to be good. Just kidding. I got a few notes. As we're kind of wrapping up this whole series around relationships, around the church, around the community, I wanted to jump into this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." This is actually a beautiful picture of the church here as we get into it. "For he who promises faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds." Let me just pause there for a second. That's the church right there. That's connect groups right there. Let's consider how we can spur each other on to love and good deeds. Man, that'll preach all day. That in and of itself right there is, let's be that kind of church, right? We're constantly thinking to ourselves, how can I encourage the other person sitting next to me? How can I help see them, inspire them, spur them on? You know, spur is not always a pleasant term, just as an FYI, but it's a compelling kind of a thing. How can we help each other, stir each other up towards love and good deeds? That's what the church should be known for, love and good deeds, right? That's us. That's Jesus. That's what we should be all about. Then it goes on and highlights something that's interesting. It says, "Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." That's unfortunate because the church has barely got going and you already have people in the habit of not going. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just shows you how old this problem is. You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't a brand new, 21st century deal. Well, now we got phones and computers and TV, so now we're all distracted. No, they're already in the habit of not going to church, and the church had barely got going, right? And so it's like, man, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, and I love this, but encouraging one another, right? And all the more as you see the day approaching. So we are called to encourage, we're called to inspire, we're called to stir people up. And the writer of Hebrews challenges us, don't give up meeting together. Don't do it. Do not get into that habit. Do not get into that space. Don't allow yourself to give up this. Don't allow yourself to give up your connect group, your community of believers, the faith-filled group of believers. Don't give up meeting together. Why? Because relationships are so vital. Right? We live, breathe, and eat. We're consumed with our relationships. The importance of relationships is so massive. It has been since the very beginning. Remember good old Adam and Eve. Adam starts off by himself, lone rangering it as the only human on the planet. God's got put him to work right away. He's naming animals, doing all kinds of stuff. Then he finally realizes, like, hey, I'm the only human. You know what I'm saying? Like, this needs to change. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? As good looking as some of these animals are, this ain't going to work. You know what I'm saying? That was over the line for some of you guys. I understand. I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. But I've been reading the Chronicles of Narnia a lot to my kids, so it's all weaving together here a little bit. Wow, guys. You guys aren't into literature? I'm sorry. C.S. Lewis, ever heard of him? Sorry about that. I thought this was North County. Oh, I love it. Come on, someone give me that whammy bar real quick. Okay, there we go. The whammy app. All right. What was I even saying? Okay, they're so vital. Okay, so Adam is like, yo, I need Okay, title. You want me to give the title? Okay, I will in a second. I'll listen. I thought it said tithe. I was like, we're taking another offering. Let's go. First one wasn't enough, guys. First one wasn't enough. Let's go again. Okay. Okay. What the heck am I doing here? Okay, Genesis 2:18. The Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. Right? Somebody say amen. So I'll make a helper suitable for him. So right from the very beginning, God, I believe, intentionally created that moment. He didn't need to wait for Adam to get that realization to create Eve, but I think he did it for Adam as well as for the rest of eternity to understand the importance of community, the importance of relationship. We're designed to do this together, right? We're not supposed to be on our own. We need each other. It's actually not good. Right? It's not just like a bonus. Like being isolated is actually bad. It's unhealthy. It helps nobody. If you're just like, well, I'm just kind of to myself. I don't really need friends. That is a lie. Every single one of us needs relationships and needs community. And so in the writer of Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together like some have ended up getting into the habit of doing. We need relationships. And really, I believe that relationships are one of the primary, if not the most important way that God brings good into our life, right? This is how God designed life. Most of the good that we get to experience on a daily basis comes via the relationships in our life, comes via the community of faith that God has put us in. Right, so relationships are not just an optional bonus extra. It is how God brings all of the good that he wants to bring to us, right? Through friendships, through church community, through marriage, God wants to bring good to us, and he does it through relationships. It's intentional. It's a part of it. But this is also why the enemy is so focused on attacking us in the area of our relationships. I mean, it's a sad study, but if you go onto iTunes and listen to the top 20, 30, 40 songs, most of them are all revolving around dysfunction in relationships. Always. Pretty much always, right? Because everybody can relate. So that's why they keep writing songs about it. You know what I mean? Everything's about leaving somebody, finding somebody, cheating on somebody, hating somebody for leaving me, hating somebody for cheating on me, swearing I'll never cheat on them. Then the next song, I'm sorry I cheated on you. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's bad. That's the top 40. So I also suggest, if you don't want that to be your life, don't listen to that music. Just a little heads up. Just a side note. Just a side note. That was a bonus. That was totally free. It's no wonder the enemy works overtime to get us out of relationships that he designed, to get us out of the community of faith. Because the goodness that God wants to bring, the fruit in our life, the richness that God wants to bring in our life really comes through relationship, but it also comes through relationships with longevity over time. And that's why the enemy works to sabotage, works to get us out of community. Think about it even just in a natural, like fruit tree, you know, fruit bearing kind of a situation. The basic, you know, on an apple tree, from the time you plant a seed to the time you can eat fruit from that tree is in the range of 6 to 10 years, wow. Right? I know that's not really encouraging, is it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking for that sped up word. You know what I'm saying? Not that 10-year word. You know what I mean? But here's the reality. The choicest fruit, the best, oftentimes out of relationships, takes time, right? Things don't just happen overnight. But what the problem is the enemy tries to keep getting us to abandon relationships, get out of community. And when a tree is planted, it's going to take some time for it to eventually bear fruit. And what will happen is, and even in a church context, you get going for a while, and then all of a sudden you're about to start bearing fruit. And the enemy will try to work his best to get you to unplant yourself, uproot yourself, and move out because of various reasons, which I'll talk about in a second. But if he can get us to move, get us to uproot ourselves, he gets us to forfeit the fruit that God wanted to bring into our life. Come on. Go ahead, clap. Go ahead. When you uproot, you forfeit the fruit. And other rhyming type of things like that. But for real, For real, right? Like, even if a tree begins to bear fruit, if you transplant it, which they suggest to never do to a fruit tree, but if you have to, do it very seldom. Try to do it as least amount of times to transplant a fruit tree, right? But even if you do it well, it's going to take at least 1 to 2 seasons, 1 to 2 years at least, before that thing will be able to bear fruit again, right? It's just how it works. And sometimes it can be damaged in the transferring process and may never bear fruit again, right? So it is so key to understand that when the Bible talks about being planted, when the Bible talks about being in community, when the Bible talks about relationships and not giving up meeting together like some are in the habit of doing, it's not just like a church attendance building strategy, right? This is about people's lives. This is about you getting all the fruit that God designed you to have, but it can only happen when those roots go down deep, when you stay planted for an extended period of time. You don't just keep moving yourself, church hopping, church bopping, all over. Why did I say bopping? That was so bad. That's what happens when you try to rhyme too much. Scratch that. You start moving all over the place. And you're going to find yourself constantly forfeiting the fruit that God wants to bring to your life. Constantly. People always wonder, now, why am I not seeing the fruit that God said he wants to bring into my life? How come I'm not seeing that? It's because you keep uprooting yourself before the fruit can come into your life. And we continue to do that over and over and over and again in our life if we're not careful, because it can be common to uproot, to forfeit the fruit that God wants to bring towards us. It's so key that we stay planted. It's so key that we stay connected relationally. I mean, the Bible literally talks about the church, this group right here, as a body as well, right? It doesn't take too much basic understanding to know that the body parts are only as good as them being connected, right? So my hand is fantastic. Disconnected from my body, we got a problem. You know what I'm saying? We got a problem, right? This hand ain't going to work for very long. This hand is on its way to death. It's not going to be good, right? We literally are connected, and we find our greatest value in that connection. Not being separate. Not trying to do my own thing all the time. Actually, I fulfill my purpose as I'm connected to the body of Christ. Not separate. Not on my own. Not going rogue all the time. But literally, you and I cannot really fulfill our full purpose and potential outside of the body of Christ. I mean, that's just what the Bible says. But this is how we do it. When I say connected, now I'm empowered. Now I begin to see fruit in my life. Now I begin to see strength coming into my life. Now I begin to see my life change and shift. And some of us in the room can give testimony to that as you got yourself connected to the house of God. And as you poured yourself in over time and over months and over years, you began to see the fruit begin to come alive again. Maybe even something that felt dead for a long time, all of a sudden now it's showing signs of life again. And that's what happens when we stay planted. But the enemy is going to constantly attempt to get us unplanted, right? And only planted trees produce fruit. Only planted trees produce fruit. It doesn't matter how badly you want to produce fruit, how much you love Jesus. If you uproot yourself out of the ground and attempt to produce fruit without being planted, you might as well forget it. It doesn't work that way. You're not designed to be isolated. You're designed to be in the community, in relationship, in the family of God. Amen? Psalm 92, this is an iconic verse around this concept about plugging and planting your life into the purposes of God, the kingdom of God, the house of God, the presence of God. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Come on. Let's go. How many want to bear fruit for the rest of your life? In essence, that's a Christian term for you want to make a difference. You want to have good success in your life. You want to enjoy life. That's the fruit that God wants to bring in our life. But that means that we got to stay connected. We got to stay in community. We got to stay in relationship. Here's a couple of things that the enemy will often attempt to do to get us to quit. So tonight's message for the title, it's called Don't Quit on Us. Don't Quit on Us. Don't quit on relationship. Don't quit on the community. Don't quit on us. But here's a few things the enemy tries to do to get us to quit that should not get us to quit. One is boredom, right? And this can apply to church community, but also friendships, marriage, right? Boredom can be a reason that oftentimes people go, I got tired of it, you know? Left, not a good reason to leave community, marriage, or friendship. Conflict, just kept butting heads. Not a good reason, not a sign. That is not a sign. Butting heads is not a sign to leave. That's not. In our culture it is, but it's not, okay? You're unhappy. They weren't making you happy anymore, right? That's such a selfish response to relationships. Pastor Juergen talked about that a little bit this morning, serving each other, right? But being unhappy is not a reason to leave. That's not a reason. That's not an excuse. That's not a get out of relationship free card, right? Just unhappy, you know? Oh, okay. Wow. Thanks for the update. No, it's just like, that's a symptom. That's not a reason. That's not a reason to leave something. Just to kind of go there on a technicality, irreconcilable differences. That's not a reason. That's not a reason to leave a marriage. It may be something you put on a court document, but it's not a reason. It's not a biblical reason. And it's certainly not a good approach to any relationship, right? Because usually that's just a mask for the other issues, right, that people are really dealing with. But that's not a reason to leave. But these are the kinds of things the enemy will try to get us to think, to relieve relationships, right? How about this one? Hey, just not feeling it anymore. Oh, feelings. Don't you love them? Don't you love them? You know, feelings get you into relationships, and that's cool. That's cool. But they are horrible at keeping you in relationships. Right? So okay, let's talk about marriage for a second. You need to feel it, right? I mean, like a lot. Like these two were up on the stage, right? Like that's the level. That's the level of feeling it you need to have, right? Hello. If you're not feeling that, then, you know, make sure you're at marriage conference next year. So that'll be good. Can't wait for Katie and I to do that. She's a big dancer, so that's good. It's going to be good. But I'm not feeling it. You know, the thought of, hey, I fell out of love. Hey, we just kind of, you know, just fell out. That's not a good reason, right? Because feelings follow your thoughts, right? So in a friendship, in a church community, in a marriage, if you're not feeling love anymore, that's because you've stopped thinking good thoughts about that person. And that can easily be changed. That's the good news. That's the good news. All you have to do is begin to change how you think about your spouse, how you think about that friendship, how you think about the church, how you think about your pastors. If you change how you think, it will change how you feel. Okay? Here's probably the big one, right? Offense. Right. This is one of the enemy's biggest tactics to get us out of church community and out of relationships is I got offended, right? One of the friends of C3, Pastor John Bevere, wrote a book years back that is still one of the most important books in our era called The Bait of Satan. And it's all about offense, right? It's the enemy's number one tactic to get us out of church community, to get us out of relationship because, they offended me. You know what I mean? Mike's hair looks better than me. I'm offended. You know what I mean? Things like that. Just important things like hair. You know what I mean? But you know what? Honestly, this is so important for us to be wise about the enemy's attempt to take us out, right? Because if we're going to get the fruit in relationships that God really wants us to have, if we're going to get all the benefit and the strength and the fruit and the goodness God wants to bring by being a part of the C3 church, the C3 San Diego, C3 North Campus, this community right here, if we're going to get all that we have out of it, then we've got to be able to make sure that we are wise about the enemy's attempt to get us to step out of community. To get us to step out of relationships, to get us to back off and withdraw from relationships. And what the enemy will get us to think is that all of these things I just listed are all indicators that you need to leave or retreat a relationship or a church or a marriage. But actually, they can be catalysts that God wants to use to actually strengthen. Right? Instead of them being reasons to leave, God can actually use them to strengthen your relationship, strengthen your, carve something out in your life, and actually build a better community because of it. You know, we love that verse, Proverbs 27, 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. But you know what? That takes a lot of sparks, right? That's not really a comfortable situation off the time, right? So what happens is we get in community and we're here for a little bit. And usually most of us can kind of like fake we got no issues for a period of time and just kind of get it. Hey, yeah, everything's good. We're the perfect couple, perfect individual. Everything's great. No issues, no problems, you know, like Gabe. You know what I mean? And so it's just like we can fake it. Sorry, I didn't include you, Megan. You're both perfect. Yeah, you're both perfect. Yeah, well, we know. Okay, so... So we can get into sidetracked. Okay, so when we're in these moments, we attempt to leave, we attempt to abandon it, and it's actually staying in relationships long enough for the rough edges kind of the blade to get sharpened, to get smoothed out, to get to actually get sharp, rather than as soon as conflict, as soon as confrontation, as soon as I don't like what somebody said, as soon as I get offended, my instinct is to, oh, well, I'm going to go to the next church, or I'm going to go to this other, you know, I'm done with that world, I'm done with that person, I'm done with that community. And what we don't realize, first of all, we forfeit the fruit, but then we also restart the whole sharpening process again in the next spot. And we bring our same dull blades, same rough edges into the next relationship, into the next church community. And guess what? The sharpening is going to attempt to happen again, right? Somebody's going to confront you again on your stuff. Someone's going to call you out on your bluff. Someone's going to challenge your area of habit or sin or dysfunction. And you and I have a choice at that point. Will I allow the community to do what God designed it to do, which is to disciple me, develop me, challenge me, sharpen those dull edges, smooth out those rough edges in my life, or will I choose to get offended and go, I don't need this. I don't need you in my face right now. You need to try to judge me. You know what I mean? I thought this was a judging-free zone. You know what I mean? Now you're judging me. You know, that's such a cliche coverall to just say, I don't want anyone to confront me ever at any time. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Don't be that way. You know what? You need to just be as open as you possibly can to input, correction, people challenging you, right? Because when we allow that to happen and we stay in the relationships, some of the best fruit can only happen through longevity, through staying with it, right? And even though sometimes we want to quit, I'm telling you what, staying will produce more than leaving ever can. Staying will always produce more than leaving. That's just a reality. Staying produces better in our life than leaving. To escape the pressure, to escape the correction, to escape the uncomfortableness of it. But no, man, I'm going to lean in and just allow God to speak. Allow God to do something in my life. Amen? Amen. So don't quit. Don't quit on us. Don't quit on the fruit that God wants to bring in your life. Don't allow the enemy to take you out. So the enemy's always attempting. Man, as soon as one person says something to you, the enemy's going to be like, oh, see? That's what they think. That's their issue. Oh, hey, the whole church probably feels that way about you. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, you're spiraling out. And here's one of the biggest, saddest challenges is, you know, for about 18 years being in kind of pastoral roles, it's one of literally the saddest thing to have a front row seat to seeing people get offended. Because oftentimes it doesn't end well for people, right? And they go, oh, they're offended at this and that. I can't believe this. I'm out of here. Okay. Now, is there ever times to transition or to make moves, geography, jobs, all this? You know, it's not like there's never, ever the right season to make a move. But most of the time, 9 times out of 10, staying is what is the best decision, not leaving, right? But what happens when people decide to get offended and leave a church community is most of the time their life spirals into chaos. I mean, it's just really the saddest thing. It's the worst I told you so on the planet that you never, ever, ever want to have to say. But it happens so often. People just say, "Well, you know, I'm out of here." And they don't realize the enemy's just got them on the hook, pulling them out of community, getting them disconnected from relationships. Before you know it, you're out there on your own. You're open game to the animals, the wild, that want to just take you out. You can't do that. You and I, we got to stay planted. Amen? We got to stay connected in community. Amen? Okay, a couple things before we close it up here. A couple things on how we're going to keep this longevity going. How are we going to stay in relationships, right, beyond our feelings? How are we going to stay connected in community? The way we're going to do that, first of all, is we got to learn how to believe the best about each other, right? Come on, you know, in the beginning, Hebrews are talking about encouraging each other. Think about how we can spur one another on to love and good works, right? So, man, how are we believing the best about each other? Right, this goes for everyone outside of this room that we interact with, but also this room right here. What if this was just the most encouraging space? And it pretty much is. But what if we could continue to understand that, you know what? The closer I get in relationship with each other, I'm going to start seeing your flaws. I'm going to start getting an opportunity for you to see my issues and vice versa. But I then have an opportunity. Either I get all weirded out, freak out, you know, kind of get dysfunctional, or I go, you know what? Hey, I'm going to keep focusing on the good parts of your life. Right? And God's going to keep working on the other parts of your life. And hopefully you do the same in my life, right? Because we all got things that we're dealing with and navigating. But if I'm going to go the distance in a church, in a marriage, in a friendship, I've got to continue to focus on the positive. Focus on the good things that are in the other people in my life, right? Because you know what? Most of the time what happens when somebody first comes to a church community, they leave, oh, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was a bet. Oh, the presence of God. Oh, my God. The word. Are you kidding me? Not mine. I'm just saying in general, right? So it's just like, it's just unbelievable. They can't say enough good things. But then time goes on, right? Things, that new car smell wears out. That new church smell wears out. Before you know it, you're picking apart everything. You're angry at this because somebody got you offended. And now you're looking for reasons to leave. And we just got to keep focusing on the positive. And I'm telling you, I hope you understand, I'm coming at you with this as a pastor who loves you, loves people, to say, I don't want to see you get taken out by the enemy and get your life destroyed because you uprooted yourself and didn't stay connected to the community. Amen? Here's another thing we need to do. Forgive quickly. Come on. You know, the Bible says it's to our benefit to overlook an offense, to overlook it, right? Let's forgive. Let's be so fast at that. Let's not hold grudges. Let's not hold things over people's head. Come on, you guys, let's forgive. Let's be the absolute fastest at forgiveness we possibly can, because we've got to do that to keep this church healthy, to keep a community going forward. Same thing in every relationship in our life. We've got to forgive quickly, right? I know sometimes it can be kind of funny to joke about women holding grudges longer, right? It's only if that's a joke that's funny, right? If you're actually doing that, that's not good, right? So like, it's like, it's funny for like movies, but not in real life, right? So let's forgive, right? This is not personal between my wife and I, okay? This is... Yeah, it is now. Yeah, now. Now we got problems. Now we got problems. If I could sing or dance, I'd do the Katie, Do You Love Me song. But, Kiki. Okay, that's right. See what I did there? I was so close. Okay. Stay teachable. Stay teachable. You know what? If we're going to keep growing and producing the fruit that God really wants us to produce, that means that God's going to have to deal with some stuff. God's going to have to tweak some areas of our life, right? We're going to have to keep that, the pruning process. Oh, it's the worst, right? let's be real about that. Nobody wants to be pruned back, in essence, like dealing with your issues, getting kind of pushed back, getting adjusted in your life or your role or whatever it is, and people challenging issues that you got going on. Nobody wants to do it. I hate that. Everybody hates the pruning process, but good gardeners who really, really care about the garden, about the tree, about they always prune, right? Because it's for the long-term benefit, right, of the tree, of the individual. And so good pastors are going to challenge you. Good leaders are going to lovingly call us to the point of change and correction. But if I'm going to go the distance, I got to stay teachable. I got to stay in a posture that receives that. As soon as I think I got it all figured out, I'm done, right? It's a bad scene. Okay, lastly, we're going to go the distance in relationships and in church community. We got to love selflessly. We got to love. We got to love each other. I mean, that's supposed to be the primary characteristic of the church, love, right? That's the thing, that when a group this diverse, in age, in color, in background, in history, can somehow find a way to love each other, oh, you can't get a better testimony to that. You can't get a better conversation to the world. Just go, man, you go in, it feels like everybody's welcome. Man, it just feels like anybody's lovable. It just feels like I could be a part of this family. And you're just like, yeah, exactly. That's the church. That's who we're supposed to be. But in a church community, because there's going to be offenses, because there is going to be things that will frustrate you, whatever. Love is like this bridge, right? Love builds a bridge over the things that could divide us. But if we're going to stay for the long haul, if we're going to make it to the last breath, that's going to require a lot of bridges being built over the things that could otherwise divide us. There's always opportunity for division. There's always an opportunity for some big chasm to feel like it's getting built between you and somebody else, you and the church community, you and your pastors, you and your spouse, you and your friends. There's always opportunity, but love, the Bible says, covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers over those issues. Love gaps the bridges the gap. Love allows us to continue to keep living life together with all of our issues and all of our dysfunction, to go, you know what, I love you, and we're going to keep walking this life out together, right? And if we can love that way, if we can truly care about each other, extend grace towards each other like that, focus on the best in each other, believe in each other. I'm telling you what, when we can do that, the kind of church we build, the kind of people we become, the kind of impact we have on a city, when they're like, man, I'm telling you what, the power of God's there. But also, have you heard about how much they love each other? Come on, somebody. Have you heard about how much love they have for each other? You heard how much they love their bosses and their employees and their neighborhoods and their schools and their college camp. Man, there's so much love coming from that place. I'm telling you what, if we have that kind of a deal, then we're going to be able to stay the distance in the relationships God has for us, in the community of faith that God has for us. And that's when we get to really see the fruit, right? That's when we get to really enjoy it, when we stay planted, we stay connected. We don't get ourselves off track. We don't get ourselves too disconnected. You know, the fruit of longevity in relationships is sweet. It's the best. But the price of that is to stay in relationship, to stay in community beyond your feelings, beyond your emotions, beyond the circumstantial situations facing you, to stay with it. And when you do that, you get to enjoy all the benefits of the fruit that God wants to bring in your life. Amen? Amen. Let me just end by kind of talking through the story, an iconic story, I think, that displays this concept. It's in the Old Testament. It's a story of a woman named Naomi, and her husband passes away, but she has two sons, and her two sons marry these two girls. One's name is Ruth, and the other's name is Orpah. There we go. Yeah, similar. In the Hebrew, is it Oprah? I don't know, sir. But then tragedy strikes the family, and now both of the husbands of these two daughters-in-law have now perished as well. And so you have this, I mean, just a devastating situation. Now Naomi's going to go back to kind of her homeland, and says, hey, girls, listen, go back to your parents. You got no tie to me. You don't need to stay with me. Go back. And Orpah says, cool. See you later. It's a little bit of a rough part of the story. She's out. But Ruth says, nah, I'm with you. Your God's my God. Where you go, I'm going to go. I know God's in this, and I ain't leaving this thing. Even though it's difficult, even though there's tragedy, even though there's tension, even though there's pain, even though there's, I'm not leaving you, Naomi. I'm with you. I'm staying on this journey. And they go back, and because she decides to stay with her, it opens up the door for employment and ultimately brings her favor with this guy named Boaz. And Boaz, then, you know, they get married, Ruth and Boaz get married. Because of staying connected and not abandoning the relationships, not abandoning the community that God had, it lines her up for the provision of God, the favor of God. She finds her husband, but not just kind of any husband, this major provider that takes care of everything that they've been facing as a family and relationally. One of the things I think is just kind of a fun part of that story is that ultimately she becomes a part of the family lineage of Jesus. Ultimately, the fruit of her staying committed when she could have left ultimately is a part of the family line of the Messiah coming in to the earth. And you know what? The fruit of longevity in relationships is powerful, right? It absolutely changes everything. It shifts your family. It will change your culture. I'm telling you what, don't quit on us. Don't quit on the fruit that God wants to give you. Don't quit on the community of faith. Don't give up meeting together like some are in the habit of doing. Don't allow yourself to go there. And if you stay committed, you're going to begin to see the fruit like a woman named Ruth did, seeing all the provision, all the grace, all the sweetness that God wanted to bring into her life because she stayed faithful. She didn't quit on the relationship. Amen. Amen. If you receive something, why don't you give God a hand clap?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.